All right, this is the beginning. Early last week, we just had an introduction, reminder of the importance of what we're doing. And I think this is, I believe this is a very important time in the life of our church as we move through this material and learn the how-to and charting the course for the future of our church. God has been pleased to send an ice storm on the first night of the series, and yet it's good to see you guys out and trust that others will be able to catch this information on the tape. Going to miss the cool PowerPoint, though, but that's all right. I want to start by reviewing some of the scripture that we looked at last week. And you can turn to these passages if you'd like. I also put them in the summary of the messages, the summary of the message last week. But Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 9, and one of the verses there, as the prophet is challenging God's people, they had been 15 years returned to the land after captivity. Well, they were initially there. They were excited. They laid the foundation for the temple. They were ready to construct another temple, but opposition came. Their own needs took priority, and they failed to finish the temple. And 15 years went by, and God sent the prophets to challenge them to finish building the Lord's house. And Haggai writes, really the Lord's words, the Lord is speaking. "This people say that the time is not come that the Lord's house should be built. Thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified." The application there for us is that we must not neglect the work that God has given for us to do. We must consider our ways. What's the direction of our life, our church? Is it all about us and the temple of the Lord lays bare, unfinished, uncompleted? Or are we considering the importance of the work that God has given us to do? The other verse that we looked at last week is Hebrews 2:1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." It is so easy to drift away from our beginnings and our heritage. It's easy to drift away, even from the things I preached this morning on the importance of the gospel and the foundation of Christ. Churches that are solid, were solid at one time, as solid as ours is, walked away from the truth of the gospel as people, and it's drifted. It's a little bit over time. We need to be careful. And then the last scripture we looked at last week in the midst of the discussion was Proverbs 22:3. I love the word prudent. It needs to be a vocabulary word for the week. Something we remember, a vocabulary word as we go through this. Prudence is a great word. And the dictionary defines it this way. Caution, using caution in watchfulness, using care and planning in decisions and the use of resources. And here it's used in scripture. "The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it." As we look at the direction of our church, and if we are not careful and not prudent, decline will happen. We need to exercise prudence, careful planning as we lead our church. We saw last week the reality of change. And we need to recognize that change takes place in a church. It happens all the time. If everything that's living changes, something stops changing, it's dead. And so there is change that's good and there's change that shouldn't take place. And so change occurs. What we need to be doing is leading change. And if we don't lead change, if we don't recognize change, then decline is inevitable and drifting is inevitable. Drifting, as I mentioned in Hebrews 2:1, drifting from the truth. And or we can drift from effectiveness. We may hang on to those core foundational doctrinal truths, but how effective are we in ministering in a culture that's changing? And what is appropriate adaptation of that culture to impact that culture? As I said last week, our church doesn't look like the churches that Martin Luther went to, because culture has changed. And so we can lose effectiveness in our ministry if we're not evaluating our church and evaluating the way we minister. And ultimately, decline can lead to death and ceasing to exist as a church if we do not respond the right way. And so thoughtfully and carefully and biblically, we need to chart our course. And it's going to involve prayer. I challenge you, I think, every message so far on this, and in prayer meeting as well. Please be giving yourself to earnest prayer for our church, asking God to direct us, to give us wisdom and guidance from His Word. It's going to demand planning and prudence. It's going to demand foresight and hard work and planning as we work these things out. It's going to involve people. Okay, not just the pastor. Again, this is not my project. It has to be ours. We have to own it together. Be convinced from Scripture that these are the things we must stand on. And these are the things we need to pursue. And this is how we're going to do it. So that we're involved in this. And so it's more than what the pastor is leading. It's more than just the leaders. Certainly we're taking leadership. That's, you have put us in place to do this. To have the foresight to lead. And the wisdom to lead. But it's going to involve people. We need to be working together and hard on this. And it will involve persistence. The work of organizing and planning is just the beginning. But then holding things in place and evaluating and making sure things are once they're going effectively and keeping them going, that's hard work and being involved in ministry. So the series that is before us in the evening, we're going to look at instruction about how to chart the course for our church. Maybe a better way to put that is how to keep our church on the right course. Maybe sometimes you think charting our course for the future is like we're going a whole new direction. What's going on? But it's not so much a new direction. It is, as one of the leaders pointed out, in our meetings, just evaluating. Okay, are we on the right course? Okay, and are there any changes? Maybe they're just minor. But what do we need to do to keep on the right course? Acknowledging that drift takes place, drift away from sound doctrine, drift away from effectiveness, drift away from understanding the culture we're reaching. Okay, recognizing that. Okay, how do we keep course? You know, rechart our course and refocus. I think all of us need to do that. I believe that many of these principles, even tonight as we look at them, we can apply them to a church. We can apply them to our lives as well. Consider your ways. What's the direction of your life? What's the focus? Why are you on earth? Is it all about you? Does that really flow from Scripture that it's all about you? Of course not. No, it's not. You're here for God's glory. Well, how does it impact your daily living? So a lot of these things that we're applying to the church needfully, boy, they apply to our lives. And this will be some good instruction even on doing that. And so tonight we're going to look at the overview of planning and just going to introduce some key steps of planning. Not fully define them. And really we're looking at the outline tonight. Some of the things we're going to look at, we're going to take Sunday evenings, each one of them, and spend a lot of time, and not a lot of time, one evening on that and looking at it. And we'll have times of discussion along the way. We're going to see how all these pieces fit together. All right? So just tonight is an overview. And when we're all done, I'm going to give you a quiz. All right? So pay attention. And if you want to take notes, and during the quiz you want to look at your notes, sorry, it'll be an open book quiz when it comes to that, and it won't be long. All right, so starting about charting new territory, here is my first PowerPoint attempt. All right, here it goes. All right, I'm going to start with an illustration. Look at that. Isn't that cool? All right, should have a ship coming up there. All right, let's say that a Christian millionaire gave us the use of his yacht for a cruise. That would be great, wouldn't it? And it was going to get us all probably more like a small cruise ship than a yacht. And we could use it for any voyage that we would like. What would go into, we got this free use of a yacht, what would go into planning? What type of things would we have to work through if this was going to be a successful voyage? And one of those things would be, what does the group value? We're all believers, we're Christians, and so as we begin planning this cruise, some of our values would be biblical holiness, right? So as we go out, we're not going to have a cocktail hour, okay? And we're not going to, if we go to the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, however you want to pronounce it, we're not going to hit all the hot nightclub spots, the casinos, all right? So that's going to be something that's going to drive what we do in our activities. We value fellowship. Doing things together and family. All right. So if this is something that family is going to come on, then that's going to drive what we do. We certainly value the Bible. Okay. So and we're going to, well, that's going to impact our schedule, time where we're going to be able to have quiet time with the Lord and maybe group sessions together. So all these values are going to drive the motivating forces behind what we're going to plan. Some other things. Okay. Why are you going? Some people, if their idea of this free voyage is a mission trip, this is great. We can hit the coast of Mexico, the coast of South America, and we can stop off and share the gospel. Other people think, no, this is time for those of us who have been ministering to take kind of a Christian vacation. And it's not going to be about ministry. Maybe someone else, the more studious, say, this is an opportunity for a great study trip. You can somehow get to the Mediterranean and do, a tour there of those churches that were planted. And that would be great. And so we need to find out why we're going. Because if we don't, you're going to have some disappointed people and some disillusioned people and some frustrated people and maybe even some fighting people. Well, I thought we were going to take it easy. You don't take it easy in the work of the Lord. This is a mission trip. You got tension, right? That's an important question. You need to find out ahead of time. Why are you going? Okay, where will you go? And when? What's the itinerary? Okay, what's the timing? And you're also going to have to decide what are the key activities on this trip. Key areas of activity. What are we going to do while we're there? How will you get there? Transportation. You go to a particular island. Who's going to take care of that? All that's in the planning. And then also, what will you do to prepare? Okay, what do I need to bring? Who's going to come up with a list of items you need to bring? Well, who's going to take care of the food? Who's going to cook? Are we going to cook? Are we going to get someone to cook for us? Is there a cook on the cruise? Usually, I thought cruises, you go and everyone, everything's provided for you. All that needs to go in. And this is planning. All right? This is planning. And if you're not involved in planning, then you're going to have a mess on your hands. And as we look at a church, we need planning. And there are steps in planning. We're going to see how all those steps fit together tonight. As you are involved in planning for a church, as our leaders got together this couple weekends ago, if we're going to avoid drift, if we're going to avoid ineffectiveness, if we're going to avoid frustration, where some people think the purpose of our ministry is this, and someone else thinks the purpose of our ministry is that, and you have disillusioned people. But I thought we were. If you're going to avoid those things, then you have to plan. And planning involves periodically stopping and asking some key questions in three areas. And here is the first question that we need to ask. We need to ask, who are we? Who are we? And who are we goes to the core values that mentioned, the cruise illustration, those core values. We value biblical holiness, and that's going to flow from that, the things that we do on this voyage. Let me just read a quick definitions of what I mean by core values. Core values set forth the attitudes and approaches and activities that your church values. It puts on paper the motivating forces behind everything the church does. You're going to see an important part of that is putting on paper. That's an unwritten value. What do we value? We may find out that there are a lot of unwritten values around that we've been motivating, that have been motivating what we do. We need to get that down, find out why. What do we value? Next, purpose. Purpose addresses the question of why you exist. Why do we exist as a local church? Why does God want us to function as a local body of believers here and now? Now, as we look at local churches, a purpose is going to be very similar. But even within the many local churches that are out there, there are going to be some specific purposes for specific churches. They may have some specific things that they emphasize. One way to put this is say, why not close Mountain View Bible Church and attend another church? Why are we here? Why not shut this church and go to one of the other evangelical churches in our area that's preaching the gospel? Why this church here and now? That speaks to specifics, not just why church in general, which would apply to all churches. Why this church here and now? That's purpose. The next, we need to ask, where are we going? Where are we going? And this speaks to vision and critical ministry areas. A vision statement, you could put it this way. Vision is simply our church plus 5 years. Our church plus 10 years. Where are we going? It sets forth a large-scale, multifaceted, and attainable goal for the future. Where do we want to go as a church? What do we believe the Lord wants us to become? A vision includes what we want to become and what we want to accomplish. What we want the Lord to do in us and what He wants us to accomplish for His will. And then it puts, and when do we want to be there? Right. That's a vision. We need to put in the scripture, if the Lord will, James 4. If the Lord will. This is, you know, by His grace, this is what we are seeking to be. So, vision. And then critical ministry areas are the main categories of activity that you do each week as a church. Evangelism, worship, teaching. Key areas of ministry. Does a member see his or her ministry as part of something bigger? As you're teaching Sunday school, as you're cleaning the church, as you're setting the hymn books, do you see it connected? Is it just one task that I'm doing? Or do you see it connected to a critical area of the church that speaks to the vision of that church, that goes to the very things that we value, so that setting up hymnals carries weight in the work that we're doing as a church? So those are critical ministry areas. And the last question, so who are we? Where are we going? And then how will we get there? How will we get there speaks to strategies. Strategies. Spell out the methods and means we'll use to make our vision happen. Okay, how are we going to use our time and our talents and treasures to get there? And tasks is just a list of the things that we need to do to accomplish our vision. So those are the key questions we need to ask. And that's what we're doing. And when we got together as a leadership team, we began to answer some of these questions. We were only together for 7 hours. Really what we were doing is just walking through what we're doing right now, the how-to, and we began the discussion. What we're going to be doing in the weeks ahead is together we're going to be asking these questions. We're stopping now as a church. There are things that still go on, but we're doing that from time to time, taking the time to stop and asking, who are we? Where are we going? How will we get there? And making sure that we're on the same page. That's important. Because who we are doesn't change. We have core values, core purpose, and core doctrine. And those things do not change. Those are the things that hold us together. The golden rings that hold us together. I shared with you this morning from Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? There may be some areas of strategies, certain areas that we can you know, pick and choose. But when it comes right down to core doctrine, you can't be going two separate directions in core doctrine. All right? And core purpose. Right? If our purpose are at odds, core values. All right? Some of those things are key, and those things don't change. They may need to be restated from time to time. We need to revisit them, keep them before us. Just because they don't change, it doesn't mean we take them, put them in a folder, and file them away in the safe in the back of the church, and they get dusty. Oh, our core values are back in the safe. No, they're before us all the time. We keep them before us because they everything flows from that. It's why we do everything. Right? So, who we are, this doesn't change. Where we are going, these things change periodically. The idea of our vision. What, by God's grace, do we believe God wants us to be and to accomplish in the next 5 years? Right? And that vision, if we're going to accomplish that vision, it's going to include some critical areas of ministry. Right? And these all relate to the church. And we can see them listed there. Key areas of ministry. By that, we mean things that you must do to succeed as a church. Things you must do well to reach your vision. Right? See, this not a church doesn't just do everything. And a church that has a particular vision doesn't just do everything. It's what do we need to do well in order to succeed? And when it boils down to it, it's going to come up to you and have four, maybe five, six areas that are critical ministries that you have to do well. And this is a question you should ask yourself in your life. The ministry that God has given to you to do. What are the critical areas of ministry that I must do well to succeed? I asked the guys this as a pastor. I said, guys, what do you think as a pastor? What are my critical ministry areas? And it may be here, you may have to wear different hats. And obviously as a father, there may be some overarching critical ministry areas in family and church and such. So you may have to do these as you apply it to yourself to certain areas. But I said to them, what do I have to do well to succeed as a pastor? And you get those critical ministry areas and you see, okay, what do I need to do to accomplish those things? And then sometimes you say, that's not a critical ministry area. I'm not going to do that. Because I have to do these things well. All right, so I'm developing too much on critical ministry area because we're going to have a whole nother session on that. All right, but let's take one of these just for example. Okay, that was cool. I'm liking it. That's discipleship that comes right up, and that's circled there. Okay, all right. As we look at our vision statement, I believe a critical area of ministry is going to be discipleship. Now, do I say this because that's what I think? Pastor Bob thinks discipleship is cool. We should be doing that. Well, if you're going to do it that way, then we're wrong, okay? Where do we get discipleship? Where do our critical ministry areas and vision flow from? Core values, scripture. Okay, so we look at Christ said, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things. And we look at Ephesians 4, and it says that he has given some pastors for training others for the work of the ministry. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, all right, the things that you have heard, teach the faithful men who should be able to teach others also. And you can go right through Scripture and you will see a key critical ministry area, okay, is discipleship for a church. All right, so that's something that you must do if you're going to succeed as a church. You must do. Under that, and that is key, okay, how we get there now, strategies. Critical ministry area is discipleship. All right? And everything else underneath that you put under discipleship is a program. Every program that's put in place is a strategy to advance discipleship. A program is a strategy. And this is key. A program is not a critical ministry area. It's a strategy. What does that mean? That means programs are dispensable. Critical ministry areas usually are not. You may step back as you look at your vision and you may, you know, look at things and maybe some emphasis changes. Certainly core values and doctrine, purpose, constant. Critical ministry areas more constant because they flow closer to that. But programs, okay, are strategies. And if they were started as a means to an end, okay? But they weren't an end in themselves. But what happens in many churches? Okay, programs become critical ministry areas. And that's easy for me to say, but we look at the ones that are listed here. And maybe there are some there that are dear to your heart. And we were to walk up and to say, you know what? The care groups are not effectively accomplishing our critical ministry area of discipleship. We're going to do away with care groups. Not in my church, you won't. Now, if you see care group as a critical ministry area, we got it. Programs are dispensable. All right? And so as we move forward and as together we evaluate what our critical ministry area is and then evaluate our programs, that's where we begin to say, what are effective? What is really effective in discipleship? If discipleship is something we must do, why are we putting this under discipleship if it's not doing discipleship? Why do we even do it? Why are we putting our time and treasure and effort to something that's not accomplishing what we need to accomplish? And so, one more slide and we'll be done. We have continuity, all right? And we have change. The things that don't change are our core doctrine, our core purpose, and our core values. And then that is the glue that holds you together. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And then from that, we establish our vision. What do we want our church to be? Mountain View Bible Church plus 5 years. In light of what God expects us to do. It's not simply, you know, what I think is cool, but flowing from our values. What is it by God's grace and for His glory He would see us accomplish? And then what are the critical ministries we must be involved in to reach that goal? And what strategies will be there? All right. And those are the things, that's the growth that will keep us healthy. Will keep us on target. And we need to all be on board with it. That's why we're doing it together. And again, this is something you need to do with your life. You can only do so much well. What is it that God wants you to do? What are you doing with your life? is where you're putting your time, treasure, and resources flowing from the value of what you believe Scripture says. If not, why are you wasting your time with stuff that's passing away? Not as a church, but you individually, need to stop from time to time and evaluate. My life plus 5 years. And then don't just put a number on it and I'll be whatever, you know. It's what? If you continue to go the direction that you're going right now, where will you be 5 years from now? And with prudence, ask yourself. Maybe look around and see. Maybe if you're on a path that, as you evaluate, is drifting, ask yourself, here's someone who 5 years ago was going the same direction I'm going now, and look what there, where they are. I don't want to be there. I better get off that path. I need to get on to it. This is prayerfully with Scripture we need to be doing these things, and that's what we're going to be doing as a church, looking at each of these areas in the weeks ahead. And I hope you'll be here and be in prayer. Now, go back. Steve tells me there's an easier way to do this, but I'm new at this. Okay. All right. Here's a question. My question is to ask you, what are the key questions? What is the first key question you need to ask? Who are we? Okay? And what flows from who are we? Core values and purpose. What's the difference between a value and a purpose? Yeah. Okay, all right. What we value, okay? Purpose, what we exist, and that's more specific. More specific in what we're doing as a church. Okay. Let's see if you got it right. Good. All right. What's the next question? Where are we going? Okay. And what flows from where we're going? What? Vision? Our church plus 5 years. And what else? Critical ministry areas that support the vision. Those key areas that we need to succeed in if we're going to reach our vision for God's glory. Good. And what's the last one? How do we get there? Okay. And those are what? Yeah, strategies and tasks. Didn't talk much about tasks, but strategies and tasks. What's a strategy? Strategy is a program. All right? Sunday school, critical ministry area, strategy. Evening service, critical ministry area, strategy. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay? That's how you need to look at it. Okay? And we go through and you evaluate. And you begin to see how effective are these things. Now, there may be areas that we value. As you know, there's certain things that we value that are going to produce certain strategies. That's fine. But we need to understand how they all connect. All right. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. And I pray that this would be far more than a how-to session. Lord, we recognize from James 4 that we can say, I'm going to go into such a town and buy and sell and get gain. And there's so much we have no clue of what we're going to face. So we say, if the Lord will. We look at your word and we see we're to do things decently in order. We look at your word and we see the importance of gospel ministry. How can we do that with shoddy planning? We consider those who have invested time and money and resources and energies and mental effort into the building of companies and the building of movie industries and the building of whatever it might be. And they work hard at it. And they give diligence and they plan. Certainly, your work deserves that type of energy from your people. And yet, Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand that we're not building a business. Father, we are submitting to you, you are building your church through us. And so we must do things your way. And I pray that would be a reflection of the things that we value. And for our lives as well, and for our homes. Show us those things that we must be doing well, that we would succeed. Lord, you've told us in your word some of those things, all of them. But you've even been pleased to speak of success as you spoke to Joshua, that if he was going to succeed, he would have to give himself to meditating on your word and continuing in it. Then he would have prosperity. So I pray that these things would filter down. We would be able to grasp these principles, but also your Spirit would be pleased to drive them home. Lord, I pray that we would, by your grace, be able to walk together, not a pretend unity, but a unity that flows from your Spirit and a love for you and a love for your Word. Father, I pray that as you would tarry your return, that our church would be what you want it to be in 5 years and be accomplishing the things that you want it to accomplish. And that we would measure that success, not by quantity, but by faithfulness. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.